May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 727. Oh, that I knew the secret place where I might find my God. I'd spread my wants before his face and pour my woes abroad. Hymn 727.
Let us read together from the Word of God in Deuteronomy chapter 33, a few verses in Ezekiel chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 33. This is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them. He shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. Yea, he loved the people. All his saints are in thy hand, and they sat down at thy feet. Every one shall receive of thy words. Moses commanded us a law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob, and he was king in Jeshurun, and the heads of the people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together. Let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. This is the blessing of Judah. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people, that his hands be sufficient for him. Be thou an help to him from his enemies. And of Levi he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah, with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah. He said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy words and kept thy covenants. They shall teach Jacob thy judgments, and Israel thy law. They shall put incense before thee, and whole burnt sacrifice upon thine altar. Bless, Lord, his substance, and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise against him, and of them that hate him, that they rise not again. And of Benjamin, he said, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him, and the Lord shall cover him all the day long, and he shall dwell between his shoulders. And of Joseph he said, blessed of the Lord be his land, for the precious things of heaven, for the dew, and for the deep that coucheth beneath, and for the precious fruits brought forth by the sun, and for the precious things put forth by the moon, and for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills, and for the precious things of the earth and fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, well, let the blessing come upon the head of Joseph, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. And of Zebulun he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out, and Issachar in thy tents. They shall call the people unto the mountain. There they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas, and of treasures hid in the sand. And of Gad he said, blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion, and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. And he provided the first part for himself, because there, in a portion of the lawgiver, was he seated. And he came with the heads of the people. He executed the justice of the Lord and his judgments with Israel. And of Dan he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. And of Naphtali he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favour and full with the blessing of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren, and let him dip his foot in oil, Thy shoes shall be iron and brass, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, that is of his people, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heaven shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, thy people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee. Thou shalt tread upon their high places. We read just a very few verses in the 11th chapter of Ezekiel. Verse 14. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, thy brethren, even thy brethren, the men of thy kindred, and all the house of Israel holy, are they unto whom the inhabitants of Jerusalem have said, Get you far from the Lord, and to us is this land given in possession. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, Though I have cast them far off among the heathen, though I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people, and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel, and they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep mine ordinances, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things, and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Then did the cherubims lift up their wings, and the wheels beside them. The glory of the God of Israel was over them above. And the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city, and stood upon the mountain which is on the east side of the city. Afterwards the Spirit took me up and brought me in a vision by the Spirit of God into Chaldea, to them of the captivity. So the vision that I had seen went up from me. Then I spake unto them of the captivity all the things that the Lord had showed me. May the Lord bless the reading of his word and help us in prayer. Amen. Almighty, most holy and gracious Lord, we do seek, Lord, with the words on our lips, true grace in our hearts. Lord, we come to that place where we need thee, Lord, to grant to us of thy spirit, and then we shall be sincere. We do pray, Lord, that thou gather us on this evening. And Lord, leave us not to just gather, but may it be one of those gatherings of the Son of Man. Lord, we do come and seek thy mercy. And pray, Lord, that thou not cut us down, cut us off. But Lord, that thou grant to us thy gospel and thy grace. Lord, we pray that as we come this evening, Lord, that thou be pleased, O Lord, to remember this people. Lord, we are so minded, Lord, of the circumstances, the service tomorrow, the things, Lord, which belong to them and thy servants. And we do pray, Lord, that we may be able, Lord, to come in the name of Jesus and speak a few things. And Lord, do grant that thou to especially support, protect, defend, embrace the friends here. Lord, we have walked the way and we feel that sympathy, and pray that thou wilt bind up and strengthen hearts, how different to walk in those losses. And then when we look upon others, and yet, Lord, we pray that thou wilt comfort hearts and grant thy all-sufficient grace. Remember the family, and Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember each one. We do seek, Lord, that thou wilt grant that there might be some sweetness in thy word. Lord, that there may be something, Lord, that thou wilt grant in Jesus' name, and comfort hearts, and Lord, to grant, that thou wilt come over all our unbelief. Lord, there's no more stony hearts than ours, no more unbelieving, nor wretched than we. Lord, do grant to us, that thou come over all our unbelief. Lord, do grant the application of the blood of Jesus. We pray that thou wilt also remember as we desire to call upon thee for those that shall be here according to thy will, that are not usually gathered. And Lord, do remember them. And Lord, do touch hearts. But Lord, do touch our hearts. Remember those, Lord, that are far off. And Lord, we are utterly acquainted with it in our own hearts. But Lord, do bring back those that have gone astray. And we pray for them because we feel, O Lord, to be just the same without thy grace. And Lord, we would lay these things before thee. And do grant, O Lord, that thou wilt remember each one, especially those that we pray for, that thou wilt cause them to return. Remember the children. Lord, it is a loss which they may not have ever had before. And Lord, to be with them. And we pray that thou wilt also remember thy servant. Grant to him strength and help of God. may his master be with him. Lord, do richly bless him. And we pray that thou grant a gracious knowledge of thy presence, for it is better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst remember each case and each need. Lord, we pray for any that are fast approaching to the end. Lord, if the days were all numbered up, there would be but few. But neither do we know, Lord, each one of us, how soon we shall appear before thy judgment seat. But Lord, to grant, we pray, that thou wilt bless our older friends with life divine, and how we pray in the hymn that we have sung, Dear Job, oh that I knew where I might find him. May those, Lord, that watch thy hand be with them. Remember each case and each need, each burden laid before thee. And sometimes, and very often, those petitions were carried home, and we have things which are laid upon us. We have to continually bring before thee, and we are brought very low. But do grant answers of peace. Lord, remember this cause and each cause represented. And do remember our land in its great need. And solemnly, my judgments are upon us, and we view the solemn state of our nation. Without thy word, thy truth, we are like a ship without a rudder. And Lord, do have mercy upon us, that as we continually go further and further from the God of our deliverances. And truly, Lord, we pray that thou wilt remember us with deliverances in our land. Have mercy upon us. Lord, remember thy cause in the earth. Lord, remember those that are in other lands that are thy people. Lord, that suffer persecution. But now, Lord, we do seek, oh, that thou wilt come. And Lord, do grant to us a little flowing together with him. A little sweet knowledge, Lord, that thou art with us. That would make things right, personally and collectively. Come, O Lord, and grant us a glimpse of God. With the hymn writer, had I a glimpse of thee, O God, kingdoms and men would vanish soon. Vanish, so I saw them not as a dim candle dies at noon. But oh, we need a lifting up. We need thee, Lord, to even help us to believe there's a God in fierce temptations that we feel bereft. And utterly undone. But Lord, do come. Visit us with thy salvation. Forgive our sin, all unworthiness. We thank thee, Lord, for every favour, all thy many mercies. We thank thee, Lord, for the memories of those that we counted dear and feared God. Lord, we ask that thou wilt grant now that mercy and forgiveness, Lord, of all amiss, and cleanse us in Jesus' precious blood. Lord, do receive us in our poor petitions, because, Lord, we need thy Spirit. And do forgive, Lord, all we ask amiss, but we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Hymn 1110. My times of sorrow and of joy, great God, are in thy hand. My choicest comforts come from thee, and go at thy command. Hymn 1110.
Pleased to help me, I will direct your prayerful attention to the book of the prophecy of Ezekiel, Ezekiel's prophecy, chapter 11. Our text is taken in verse 16. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 16. Especially the last part. Therefore say, thus saith the Lord God, though I have cast them far off among the heathen, though I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Especially the last part of the verse, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. This is part of the prophecy of Ezekiel. It's a very, very solemn prophecy of the man of God against the princes of the lands and many things which belong to the captivity. Many things the prophets speak, and it is in a very, very dark time. We do not intend to speak long upon the setting of the text. But we notice that it was a particularly dark time when they would not hear. The prophet Ezekiel, and they called the city the cauldron. And we will be the flesh, they said, so that they would do what was according to their mind and hearts. And as the prophet spoke by the Spirit of God, we read the Spirit of the Lord fell upon me, he said. There was a man that was taken very, very suddenly, immediately. Pelatiah. And the prophet said, our Lord God, wilt thou make a full end of the remnant of Israel? And I want to come especially to these words that are really what the Lord would do concerning his people. According to the captivity and the time when the Lord would bring them under the judgments of God, yet he would be merciful to them. And there's so many sweet promises of the Lord gathering again. I will even gather you from the people and assemble you from the people. And he speaks of a gathering of his people in the time when he'll give them one heart. And I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll take the stony heart out of their flesh. Give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes. Now, in those things, the Lord speaks in his word of the gospel, the truth of it. That you see, friends, God's people are people that know what captivity is. God's people, those that he has a favour unto, know what it is to be afar off. They know what it is that when the Lord seems to be afar off, and that they wonder if God will bring them again, if God will yet remember them. And that's the truth in the chapter. Then I spake unto them. In the last verse, of the captivity, all the things that the Lord had showed me. A man of God, friends, speaking to the captivity. And those that the Lord would still remember, although they were afar off. And though the Lord would seem to lay his hand upon them, in the word of our text it speaks, yet will I be to them with a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Now I want to speak very, very carefully. I'm very careful, friend, not friends, not to speak in personal terms, nor to descend into things which are not at all convenient, but how my heart has been moved. Because it pleased God to bring me very low with a real sense and knowledge of my utter ruin and unbelief, more than perhaps I've never known. And then things affect our spirits. And I felt very much regarding the loss you have had. But you see, friends, you must be careful, but it brings again to my heart the loss of our deacon. And now his dear one has been taken. I am a man. And I hope I felt it. So much so that it was on my heart to ring. And of course a dear man's been gone. So many years, hasn't he? And yet my heart is still joined to him. But that's my infirmity. I don't want to speak too long. But I want to speak of Jesus and his people. Now, how he's pleased, is he not, to speak of them? But who really are these that he speaks of here? Yet will I be unto them. Or perhaps we ought to read it correctly. Yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary. And the countries where they shall come, where they're taken into captivity or some particular great trial and trouble, yet the Lord will be to his people as a little sanctuary. But how can we know we're among this people? Well, my thoughts have gone to that particular promise that was reminded of it in the vestry. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. The eternal God is this refuge or sanctuary to his people. It is, of course, the truth concerning Jesus, the sanctuary for his people. Now, some will say, of course, it's sentiment, and there are many sceptics, and not least my own heart. Friends, I have to absolutely acknowledge the motions of sin and unbelief. I don't know how it is with you. Some of us really feel to need the Lord to grant to us deliverance. But how can we know that we are among this people that he speaks of? He will be to them as a little sanctuary. That he is that everlasting God, an eternal God, is thy refuge. How shall we know that we're among his people? Well, it's no good the minister saying so. Friends, the truth upon my heart is a little verse that our esteemed brother used to often speak to. I've never spoken before of this verse at home or anywhere else, and this is the verse, I had to write it down. It really brings us to the point that God will bring and be a sanctuary unto him. When first, before his mercy seat, thou didst to him thy all commit, He gave thee warrant from that hour to trust his wisdom and his power. My late friend used to, he loved that verse. Now that's the way into our text. The warrants, the way into the text, friends, the sanctuary for God's people, and the eternal God, the refuge of them, is in this sweet truth. When God's grace entered into our heart, perhaps gradually, certainly powerfully in the end of it. So the truth of it, friends, it's when we've had to come to the mercy seat. Nowhere else would. And then, in that sweet line of the hymn, thou didst to him thy all commit. That's the way into our text. Now, God apply it, friends. I will be unto them as a little sanctuary, a people, but they're called, aren't they? But they're gathered out of this wide wilderness. If nothing else will gather them out, then God's rich grace, I know it very well. And the Lord take up perhaps the stumbling blocks that may be in the hearts of those that fear God. How can I know that I am among God's people? The eternal God is thy refuge. Well, friends, it's what the Lord has begun in our hearts and what he carries on and where he brings us unto the person of the Lord Jesus. The poor, needy, ruined sinner. Not just once, but often. The people of God are those that know what captivity is. Let the Lord touch their hearts. They're in a foreign land, a barren land. That they are a people that need the Lord, and he'll teach them. They do not learn it in the head, but in the heart. They're acquainted with the wilderness, what it is to be lost, that they feel at times that they never can be found. That they are altogether perished. My hope is perished from the Lord, said Jeremiah. Were it not that he was the sanctuary of his people? He gathers them out and brings them to the sanctuary. And we want to notice it very, very faithfully. Friends, if God touch your heart and mine, we'll be found in the sanctuary. I remember it well. Indeed, I spoke from the two verses in Psalm 20 on the Sabbath. As some of you will remember, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary and strengthen thee out of Zion. And really, it's been upon my mind ever since. So this word speaks of the Lord, his grace, from first to last. It speaks of him in a particular way. You'll be unto them as a little sanctuary. But he is the eternal God. When it speaks of him as a little sanctuary, really, it sets forth what he is to a people in the wilderness. There's a place that he'll bring his people to. Betimes that they're brought to enter in. To the sweet truth as it is in Jesus. And at times they're afar off. They say with a hymn writer, Lord, how barren is my soul today. I think it grows in it, does it? No, nothing toward God. And friends, I know well that anything that we have in our head will not suffice. It's what the Lord sows in our heart. Well, does he sow this sweet truth that we need a sanctuary? And I believe it's a sweet word, isn't it? Because it is a particular little place where God will bring his people in the wilderness, all the losses and crosses and trials. And you know, the Lord, in the hymn writer says, his grace mysteriously controls. So, friends, we're no different, are we, at all to the world. But we know the sanctuary. And do you know what it is when the Lord is in the sanctuary? When the Lord, we read in Ezekiel, I think it's the last verses in the prophecy, the Lord is there. Oh, what an unspeakable mercy. If the Lord is in the sanctuary, when the Lord touched my heart by grace of so much, friends, I had to be shown how much I had to leave. My heart went the ways of the world, but God brought me lower. Now, friends, I was glad for the sanctuary when there might be a lifting up of the Lord Jesus. When it might be a time when the Lord would show me some token for good. Or that he might assure my conscience or my heart that yes, that I was one of those that truly sought the Lord. What's the proof of it? I will not let thee go, except thou bless me in the sanctuary. Now, that's the difference, isn't it? What God has done for you and me brought you into the sanctuary. With those Greeks that said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." And the Lord knows we do see that God may bring back those prodigals to the sanctuary. But, you know, the matter of this, it lays on my heart, friends. This is what God does in the lives of his people. He brings them to the sanctuary. I've spoken on the past Sabbath of how our late dear friend used to delight to tell me how she and her dear husband, our brother, were joined together. She often used to tell me. I love to hear, really, of how heart was joined to heart. Something real in it. It wasn't just natural love. It was a love to the things of God. So they walked together. A mark which belonged to them, I can never forget. And then very, very gently, I think this word really has an application, because where there are those that fear God, their house is a sanctuary. I bless God that I was brought up in a God-fearing household. I didn't think so much at the time, but now I can see what a wonderful blessing it is. And perhaps some of you have even thought on these things. The home was made a sanctuary where those that fear God walked it out. I don't want to speak wrongly, but neither do I want to intrude. But these things are on my heart. I will be unto them as a little sanctuary. How true. How much more? Is there a place at the mercy seat for those that seek God? God will never say depart. a sanctuary where we might come amongst the brethren. We might come with those that fear God. You so know, don't you? With those that fear God and those that fear Him not. And the matter, friends, is something you can't speak of. But oh, there's something it's entered into. The union felt, and the place where hearts join together. Now how much more in His sanctuary. And this is upon my mind, how the Lord gathers out poor sinners from their evil ways, and their hearts are still opposed to God, but He subdues them in the sanctuary. Now let me try and speak of it in my poor way. I will be unto them as a little sanctuary, not little in grace. Neither is His sanctuary little in the truth, if Jesus be there, but it's a little place, isn't it, where there's a little respite. So, not only that, but there's not so many other those places where the gospel is preached, Jesus is exalted, and hearts begin to feel the sweetness of Jesus' name. Oh, and friends, a little touch of His love in troubled hearts. What a wonderful thing that is. I've known what it is to come into the sanctuary feeling absolutely terrible, without any hope at all, and the Lord has softened my heart by due degrees, and I felt something before I've gone out. I'll put a new heart within you. That's what we need. And it's not a patch up, is it? Not something patched up in the head, but friends, it's heart work. I will put a new heart. I will give them one heart in the sanctuary. And I will put a new spirit within you. Well, this is His work, isn't it? But this is something which belongs to the sanctuary. As we might speak of the earthly sanctuary where the Lord is pleased to bless His word. We can't explain it. But it's when the great God of heaven touches the hearts of His people. We often speak of Ruth. Oh, how her heart was touched, wasn't it? By God's grace, and out she had to come, and she had to go with Naomi. Because it was in her heart, a new heart will I give you. I'll give them one heart, and I'll put a new spirit within you. And I'll take this, oh, we need it, don't we? Take the stony heart out of their flesh. Oh, what a stony heart. Doesn't get any better, does it? Doesn't get any better by reading God's word. Doesn't get any better by singing the hymns. But when the Lord applies His word, His truth, when there's a sweet touch of His love, like those two on the road to Emmaus, their hearts burn within them. Now, friends, it's the application, isn't it, of God's rich grace. And it's in the wilderness. It's particularly in captivity. There, the Lord will grant to His people a little sanctuary. Or be to them as a little sanctuary. In the countries where they shall come. So the Lord was mindful of His people, and He would still but grant her your sweet presence. Now I want to come a little further, because much could be said of the prophecy and the truth in the gospel, but you know, really, this sanctuary is none other than the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Well, that tabernacle of which we read, that the tabernacle of God is with men. In the last chapter but one, the Revelation, it is that tabernacle that we read of. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with me. And he will dwell with them in all their sorrows. Man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them, and be their God, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. I'm ever so careful, because I'm very conscious the Lord's servant will be taking the funeral tomorrow. But just my few thoughts really are very submissive to the occasion, and I want to just speak a few things in the name of my God. Well, the truth of the matter is, friends, where would we be? It's experimental, isn't it? Where would we be without this sanctuary? You know, in the old dispensation we had spoken of it, there was the sanctuary, the outer court, spoken of as a worldly sanctuary, or not worldly in the respect that it was carnal. And then there was the sanctuary where the offerings were made, and all that pertains unto it. Then there was the Holy of Holies. Now, what would all those places be without that high priest going in on the Day of Atonement to the Holy of Holies? It would all be in vain, wouldn't it? Oh, how sweet and precious that the truth of that great, that work of the great high priest, typifying the coming of the Lord Jesus, giving life to the sacrifices, to the hearts of God's people that offered with faith in the coming of the dear Redeemer. How they saw when the high priest came in, their hearts were fixed, I believe, but on the truth of the atonement, that God would make known, that their hearts were led out to it. And so there was faith mingled with those sacrifices, looking unto Jesus in the type of it. Now, have you ever been able to look with those dear godly people to the time when he will come? Perhaps you have to wait for it. Now, and what do you want him to do? Atone for your sin and grant the blotting out of the enormity, and to say the malignity, that the awful blackness, curse of sin. If we just get a little knowledge of what our sins deserve, we shall be in a terrible state, and it will bring us to the mercy seat. Perhaps some of you know just a little of it. Well, in the hymn writers' verses, it speaks so precious, doesn't it, of that coming. Come just as thou art, without one plea, Oh, and we need faith in our hearts, don't we? Say that thy blood was shed for me, O Lamb of God, I come. But not having the assurance, but the assurance that he is able. Ah, friends, has the Lord granted you that in the sanctuary? A little sweet knowledge that he is able? And you cling and cleave to that? Well, friends, the matter is this, that God will bless his people in the sanctuary. That the world scoff, don't they, and say, what do these feeble Jews? Ah, but what if the Lord is there? What if he tarries there by his Spirit? The Spirit moves the heart, doesn't he? As we have known it. There's a sweet drawing unto the Lord. And in the sanctuary we might hear of the promise of his coming and the sweet things which belong to him. God's people are waiting people, often in the wilderness. They're often in trouble. Isn't long before that they're found at the throne of grace, is it? Lord, have mercy upon me. Oh, the dreadful fear of presumption. The dreadful fear of it, lest that we should be altogether wrong. Perhaps that's a great trouble with some of you. But whether or not, you know, the proud professor will say, well, of course you're right. And the poor child of God says, of course, I'm all wrong. But we will seek his face. But we will come with those that have got nothing to him that has everything. That we will come with the poor and the needy. We'll come with those of whom we read in the prophecy, they that were left of the sword found grace in the wilderness. Friends, it's not such an easy thing to preach it, but may the Lord apply it. Now, the matter is this, Jesus is the sanctuary. The very sweet hymn of him, the sanctuary of his people. Where would we be without him? Who is the sanctuary of his people? A high tower. A refuge for sinners the gospel makes known. It is found in the merits of Jesus alone. Not just religion, is it? Ah, friends, it's the need of a sanctuary. Come into that place of refuge, a city of refuge. The slayer of blood sought that refuge. Yeah. And with the revenger of blood, he had to fly unto that refuge. So it is with God's people. They have to come, and sometimes they're so troubled because they fear they're altogether deceived. No, friends, they cannot be deceived. Deceived at the throne of grace because Jesus undeceives them. He brings them upon the ground of mercy. The Lord undeceives his people. Friends, he makes them contrite. Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Just like Hezekiah. The Lord brings his people low, but he binds them up. They often find that the way is rough. They cannot see their sign. Like dear Jacob, they say, all these things are against me, again and again. And sometimes, friends, we cannot see our signs, and we feel exceedingly cast down because of the way. Oh, but in the sanctuary, the Lord directs his people. No, the Lord's servants, they are those that are brought like evangelists, I hope in some little way, to point and to direct the poor and the needy to the place where grace abounds. To direct them to the bleeding wounds of our incarnate God. Oh, but how often the mind is hardened, isn't it? Coldness and darkness. Dreadful maladies of sin and unbelief. And the dreadful knowledge of the awful plague of sin. Can ever God dwell here? Well, he dwells in the sanctuary first, even Jesus. And there we read of so many hard cases, so many the blind and the dumb, the maimed. Oh, and those cases, friends, that no physician could meet. The lepers. Those that were afar off. Oh, the Lord bid them come unto me, and he still does. Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden. Fearful hearts. Fearing that you're altogether out of the question. Let God bring some trial or trouble. Does it bring out the best in us, does it? Ah, but in the sanctuary the Lord speaks to his people. This is the way. Walk ye in it when ye turn to the right hand. When ye turn to the left. I was reading with my dear one this morning. You know it. It just touched my heart a little. First chapter of John. It speaks so much of him that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. No other light to turn their darkness away. Now, this is what did me good. It was in the world, and the new world was made by him, and the world knew him not. And we come to these verses and of his fullness. For we received him, grace for grace. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth. That's what struck my mind this morning. Grace and truth. And I thought, what can we want beside that? Grace and truth. Grace to pardon crimson sin. The favour of God to those that are lost and ruining the fall. Grace abounding. You know, I found grace in sorrow. Remember very, very dark times. The Lord granted me one of the richest blessings and one of the greatest trials. You know, it will draw your heart out unto him. And the Lord brought me through such a great loss and trial, with a little sweetness in my heart, that it was the Lord. I cannot dwell there too long, but friends, this sanctuary is the Lord Jesus, and the Lord's pleased to bring his people into the sanctuary, and there to shut them in, to bring them unto himself, and comfort their hearts. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Oh, and there's one other point I want to mention here. And that is this. Grace and truth. Now, some of us need the truth. Perhaps some of you are seeking for it. It's in him. You don't have to go to Moses. No, I want to speak rightly. Let the Lord lead you by his Spirit to the Lord Jesus, the sanctuary. To teach from the sanctuary. To bring you upon the ground of his sweet mercy. And to show you things which belong to him. To be found at his dear feet. As the apostle was at the feet of Gamaliel, so much more does the Lord bring his people. And they need the Lord to grant them a new heart. He brings them to his feet to teach them. And to instruct them. And to guide them to. But what wayward hearts. The trouble is, friends, we've got hearts opposed to him. Or our old hearts. It is a infirmity, isn't it? Oh, the heart is the rebellion. Oh, but let the Lord bring us to his feet. He'll bring us to the sanctuary. Even Jesus. Take my yoke upon him and learn of me. Now, would to God that it's a great desire in my heart that the Lord would establish, strengthen and settle his people. I need it. But it's when the Lord goes before his people and sweetly assures them with signs following, tokens, that it is the Lord. And brings their poor hearts into conformity. You know, there's something very precious. Grace and truth. Truth is that which keeps them. And really, friends, that's what seeking souls want. The truth. Nothing but the truth. That's what God's put in your heart. Those that seek him. You want the truth. You cannot do without it. Well, it's in the sanctuary. And the dear Lord, show us the truth as it is in Jesus. You know, there's something ever so precious in it. He explains all. He makes crooked places straight, rough places plain. Oh, but it's the comfort we need, isn't it? The truth of it. In a barren land, in our poor hearts, often feeling that we are altogether deceived. But the world can't help, can it? It can't give any solid comfort. But oh, to be found at the feet of Jesus. Perhaps it's the prayers of the people. The sanctuary. Hearts blend together. You can say, well, I can't hardly pray, but I can go with him. Perhaps there are those things the Lord is pleased to hear. As your heart goes with the prayers that are off. Sometimes the prayers in a vestry are very savoury. I mean those that know what the minister needs, the Holy Spirit, to be the sufficiency. I want to just come a little further, very, very mindful of the service tomorrow. The dear prophet, he spoke, didn't he, in the name of his God. I spake unto them of the captivity, all the things that the Lord had shown me. Well, the greatness of the matter, friends, of those things that we've learned of him. Oh, how much we stand in need of the Lord to show us more of him. And to show us a little of that sweet truth that is in him when our sins rise up, and to know that his blood is all sufficient to cleanse and atone. That's what we need. The application of it, the sweet truth, that's what lays on my heart. To grant to us the root of the matter, and to grant to us his sweet presence. And I want to leave a few things this evening. I will be to them as a little sanctuary. Or as we may think of earthly parents bearing up their children in their arms, so much more. So Lord, reveal in his word, the eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I'll leave a few things. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Warren will preach next Lord's Day. There'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 957. Why sinks my weak, desponding mind? Why heaves my heart the anxious sigh? Can sovereign goodness be unkind? Am I not safe, since God is nigh? Hymn 957.
forgive all spoken amiss. We pray that we may have not aggravated any trouble. That, Lord, do be with those that mourn and comfort their hearts. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all. Amen.